Would you bow your heads, please? Say, Holy Spirit, I have ears. And I have eyes. They hear and see what your Spirit is releasing to me. Amen? And amen. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. The verse that I will be concentrating on is verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10. I'm going to give it to you in both the NIV and the Amplified because I believe it is of importance for the time and season we are in. For I am God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for me to do. Amplification. I am God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that I may do those good works which God prepared, planned beforehand for me, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that I should walk in them, living the good life which He arranged and made ready for me to live.
Come on.
He prearranged and made ready for me to live. That's a lot to digest. And the enemy comes to, and when I say the enemy, I'm talking about Adam. About the human nature, about the soul screaming, yelling, and you're not worthy, how can you do, blah, blah, blah. And he lies to you and you agree with it because it sounds true and it feels true. And when you believe him, you cancel your future. You say, wait a minute, that can't be true. Well, out of the goodness of the heart, the mouth, the abundance of your heart is full of compassion or guilt, shame, self-condemnation, lies and deception, strong delusion, you name it, it's there. And it's there at the crucial moment for you to back off from God's plan, which He prearranged. I remember getting upset, saying, God, how can you use me? How? By choice? Not because he looks at me, but because he looks at his son. And that shed blood that he had on that tree that he did for me. I mean, you know, it's not an accident for Christianity to start waking up. It is God's will to push his truth into us right now. Not next year, right now. Verse 4. The NIV says, but because of his great love for me, God, who is rich in mercy, made me alive with Christ. Even when I was dead in transgressions. So that tells you, and I'm personalizing it because every one of you needs to take and digest this truth. It is by grace you have been saved. Not by works, not what you did, what you didn't do, what you lacked of, etc., etc. And God raised me up with Christ, seated me with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Amplification, He raised me up together with Him. and made me sit down together, giving me joint seating with him. I love that part. He's sitting on what kind of a seat?
A love seat.
A love seat. Not a judgmental seat. Look at your neighbor. Say, get with it.
Sit on Jesus.
Right on that love seat. He's not angry at you. Adam is upset.
The natural man
screams and yells.
Unworthy.
Guilt. Condemning words. And condemning thoughts. He raised me up together with him, made me sit together, giving me joint seating with him on a love seat in heavenly spheres by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Whoa. He did this, amplification, verse 7, that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come. Are we living in the ages to come from that point of view?
Yes.
The immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in kindness and goodness of heart towards me in Christ Jesus. Now, if you digest that one verse and you swallow it and you own it, a lot of Adam is going to take a ride. But you know what? When I had my plan and I listened to my plan and I did according to my plan what I was comfortable in, I did not complete the mission that God had prepared for me. I was rejecting his plan because I had no value in my own eyes. Because I was looking at self. God said it's now to say what I say about you. And this particular prayer became a part of my life. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. I began to declare it boldly every day. And as I did, I would get stuck. I would get stuck on certain verses. And in the days and weeks and years to come, because I did this every single day for years. And you know what? My unbelief button started to get irritated. How many know you have an unbelief button? Somehow the truth comes in, you reject it because your emotions say, can't be. And you literally cancel your destiny. And I remember being upset and saying, God, how long is this going to last? He says, I gave you free will. You can have it last for the next 20 years and cancel your future. Or you can make a decision. Choose to believe what I say about you versus what you believe about yourself.
Amen.
Thank you for that, amen. You see, when I depend on the compassion of my Father, in my upbringing, I always had the natural dad as my vision. My natural dad gave me away before I was born. So automatically, Adam and me canceled my future. My second dad, the one who brought me up, became so self-centered and so broken that he became a full-time alcoholic, drying out his brain. And because of an accident that happened when he was drunk, he ended up with a fractured crown, 3 cracks in his head. And 2 days ago, I was painting the area where that happened. You see, he stumbled to go from his bedroom to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And he realized he had turned in the wrong direction because he was still inebriated from what he had drank the night before. So he decided to have a wisdom thought. Because now he knew he was falling down the stairs. So he projected himself with the 1 foot that hit one of the steps. And he literally vaulted forward and upwards and smashed his head on a beam over the stairway. Hit himself square in the forehead, cracked his skull in 3 places, and ended in ICU down the street at Bay State. The neurologist who took care of him said he's not going to make it because there was so much pressure on the brain and so much blood that had... But he did make it. And every time we went to the doctors after that incident, which happened to be, by the way, 4 months before I was married. So we talked about canceling the wedding and he wouldn't hear it. And he came to the wedding half a man. Whenever we went back to the specialist, which took a long time for recovery, he'd say, "You're the stubborn Frenchman that refused to die. That's what you are." And he said those words in front of me. I'm not giving you hearsay. When I was painting this beam, which goes across the staircase, I was remembering his body being at the bottom of the stairs, and Mom and I couldn't figure out how his 2 feet were in the outside door where you come in at the bottom of the stairs, and his head was next to the first step. How could his body be shifted? And obviously, we learned that after the crown being cracked, the way that it was cracked from the x-rays. And we came home one night when the specialist explained what happened, and he says he hit himself here. Well, logically, when you're going down the stairs, you don't hit your forehead. You hit somewhere else. But because he vaulted, and he remembered this years later, and he said, "I remember losing my footing and thinking I'm going to jump the rest of the way, because otherwise I'm a dead man." So he remembered. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that people in your background cannot and will not determine your future, including yourself, if you obey what the Word of God says about you. Verse 8, Amplified. "For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, woo-hoo, made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith, not through your actions and not through your dancing through loopholes. And this salvation is not of yourself." Look at your neighbor, say, "Your salvation is not of yours."
Your salvation is not of yours.
"Or of my own doing." It came through your own striving, not through your own striving, but it is a gift of God. That gift of God is unconditional, isn't it? Yeah. It can be given to anybody you choose to give it to. You can impart salvation into a wounded person and recreate hope in them for the God they don't know. Verse 9. "Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast." You listen to the religious realm, and "I'm holy because I've done all the legal stuff. And I've never fallen short." You have, because you're full of pride. "It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do,
so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. And here's again that major victory for verse 10. For I am God's own handiwork. Try it on. Say, I am God's own handiwork.
I am God's own handiwork.
His workmanship.
Recreated in Christ Jesus.
Born anew.
That I may do.
Those good works.
Which God predestined.
Planned beforehand.
For me.
Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. That I should walk in them.
Living the good life.
Which he prearranged.
And made ready for me.
To live.
You say, well, it would be nice if you could confirm it.
I will.
I'm sneaky today. First Peter chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12.
Conduct yourselves properly, amplified, honorably, righteously, among the Gentiles, so that although they may slander you as evildoers, yet they may, by witnessing your good deeds, come to glorify God in the day of inspection, when God shall look upon you wanderers as a pastor, as a shepherd over his flock. My good deeds will identify who I belong to. It will create jealousy. It might even create hatred. And they'll question their own sanity.
Because they're looking from Adamic perception. And you can't blame them, because you lived there. You can't condemn them, because you and I went through the same things.
So what God is really saying, that he's prearranged stuff, got it on a chart, ready to implement, and then he checks with us. Are you ready for the ride? Are you ready to go down that path I've prearranged? Or are you going to do what's comfortable for Adam?
You're preaching now.
But it's the truth.
Yes, it is.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Adam is comfortable doing things that come naturally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that nature is demonic. It's perverted.
Okay.
It's selfish. It's comfortable. The Holy Ghost will identify you to do things that you have been prepared to do and only empowered by grace and favor. It's empowered by grace and favor from heaven. Prepared in advance for you. Prearranged. Scary, but truth.
Well, you mean to tell me God can use me?
I can't even make it to the bathroom without help. You're right. You can't do anything except maybe survive on a natural level. But empowered by the resurrection of Christ, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Philippians 4:13.
Late 70s, early 80s, he told me to sell the business. And I couldn't tell anybody because I thought I was crazy. By 81, it was finally sold. A lot of different things going on. It was sold, and it was a part of my past. And now I'm thinking the path that, you know, seems logical is going to open up, and every door closed. So I thought, oh, I missed it. And of course, I had a nice, friendly helper in my house that kept saying, well, what are you going to do now? That happened to be my wife. She was my test. Did I pass the test every time? Mm-mm. Sometimes I got angry. Sometimes I blamed her. Anybody know that you don't want to blame yourself?
Amen.
Anybody recognize that self is really selfish? And it is. And I'm not blaming anybody because I've lived it, okay? But the bottom line that God began to show me is he had a plan. And until I hit the right button and made that door start to open, which, by the way, it wasn't comfortable because it wasn't logical. What I did learn is that I put one foot, and he would give me the grace to do the next foot. Mm-hmm. And I know each of you has done that, otherwise you wouldn't be here. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I'm dependent on you.
Totally only you.
To the best of my ability.
And whatever I've done.
To satisfy the me.
Or the selfish part of me.
I lay that on your cross. No more condemnation.
No more guilt.
It's time for me. To declare what you say about me. And for the things you've prepared.
Prearranged.
Because I am. God's own handiwork.
His workmanship.
Recreated in Christ Jesus.
Born anew.
That I may do those good works.
Which God predestined.
Can you believe planned ahead?
For me.
Taking paths.
Which he prepared ahead of time.
That I should walk in them.
Living the good life.
Which he prearranged.
And made ready for me to live.
Hallelujah. And it's going to be by grace.
And favor.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Any additions?
It's by doing that that we gain the testimony, so that when we become part, if he tarries, of the cloud of witnesses.
Yeah.
That's our testimony. Mm-hmm.
So when I am in obedience on that path to walk forward by his prepared grace, the cloud of witnesses that's behind me, that's taking a peek and saying, wonder if they're going to stay on the selfish path, or are they going to stay so that we can be completed with them?
Share that testimony.
Huh?
We share
his testimony, his witness.
Right.
Now, I didn't expect to go there, but John.
What else is there?
It's okay. Back, many years back, The Lord had given me a word of knowledge by an individual who opened up a door that I didn't expect. And he gave me a word of knowledge, spoke it out over me, such as you will receive today. And I had written it down. And you know, I serve a God that's miraculous. And Gary was in the service at the time, so I'm sure he was at least 18. And there was an encyclopedia up in his bedroom, which was empty because he was in the Navy. And I'm sitting downstairs in my family room. And it's in the middle of the night. And I was so concerned about this word that I had received that I was accountable to obey the Lord in order to lift up my ancestors who failed. That never entered my brain. My skinny little brain was about me. It wasn't about ancestors who failed 400 years ago or whatever the number was. So I said, Lord, this is not funny. This is really, really, like it's putting an accountability level on me to bring them up with me. Okay? So I had the name of a city in France. That's all I had. It kept bouncing in my head. And I knew it was God because I was praying in the Spirit and it kept coming out over and over and over. So now I said, well, Lord, what next? And I instantly had a snap vision of the encyclopedia upstairs in Gary's bedroom. So, of course, I sneaked upstairs, went and found the encyclopedia under the name of the city, opened up the book, and the city's not important, and the book is not important. But I remember opening up the book, and there's a photograph on the right-hand page. And it's an official of that city, and he looks the spitting image of my brother. Spitting image to the, I mean, I was like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. And I mean, the shape of his body, totally different from me, okay? He was burly chest, very handsome, had this incredible coat that was all fur, and it was ermine lined, ermine, believe it or not. And here was the real clincher. He had a medallion with large gold chain, and right here on his chest is this incredible medallion made out of gold, encrusted with jewels. And he's got this fancy round hat with a feather on the side. And I mean, I was totally impressed. Totally, totally impressed. Because he looked like my brother. And I mean, oh my God, this can't be. So I was stunned and overwhelmed. Long story short, because there's a lot of details. I went back downstairs and I'm weeping because I'm saying, he looks like me. He doesn't have the same name, it doesn't matter. God, what is it that they did? What did they do? And I heard, for convenience sake, they bowed to the false religious concepts. They knew me, but rejected it because of political correctness. Oh my God. Oh wow, now I'm totally overwhelmed. And the Lord says, now repent for them. Daniel prayed a prayer to repent for his ancestry. My ancestry goofed. So I began to intercede, and I interceded for, I don't know, whatever time. Bottom line, finally went back to bed. Several days later, I am nosy. I want to go back and look at that picture again. Okay? I went through every page of that book. It was not there. It was not there. I have a friend of mine said, Kim, it must be you'd used a different book. Well, I tried everything. I remember the name of the city. But what was important is God opened me up and let me see something that wasn't there, but it was there. I shared a percentage of that with John because of what God allowed between him and I and a prophetic word that came over him. What I'm saying is you're much more than you realize. Your level of anointing, what was canceled because of their disobedience, you can pick up the whole package, which I did, and said, Lord, if they missed it, I won't. Because you're going to give me the grace to carry it out. Now, how many of you had a stirring going on in here? Mm-hmm. How many of you have it? Put your hand way up. Then come on up. Put your Bibles down. We need to pray.
Kim?
Yeah?
Lord, as we pray, we were talking about the ancestors. Pray for all generations. Going, pray for family.
Yep.
There's another word, and I can't think of it. Going back and forth.
Ancestry.
All generations.
Ancestry.
Even forward.
Yeah. Come on.
Spiritual.
Huh?
Spiritual DNA.
Your spiritual DNA.
That we are.
Yes. I'm going to lead you off, but if you have the next level, then you're going to open up and repent for those that made the mistakes. Whatever kind of mistakes they were, whatever deception they lived under, whatever pressure, political or otherwise, whatever happened, it's time. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
by an act of my will,
I lift up my ancestry,
those going back,
as far as needed,
wherever they failed,
however they failed,
I take their sin upon myself today.
Whatever fear tactics operated,
whatever deception or delusion,
I cancel it now.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
I claim the blood. Not only for them.
But for those going forward.
Those that are in my heart.
That their DNA.
Will not fall apart.
And carry out.
The commission
that was given to this family,
namely mine.
Thank you, Jesus,
for forgiving them.
I purpose to set them free.
Hold no sin against those that fell short.
But today,
I take them with me.
Before the throne of grace.
Because of what Jesus did on that tree.
He did not do just for me.
He did it for them.
Going back.
As many generations as needed. Because Holy Spirit.
I really now release my spirit.
To intercede for whatever deception, whatever delusion,
whatever fear tactics
came upon them.
Right now.